And the Lord said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawless preacher. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, I praise you and I honor you, Lord God. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, I thank you for the many miracles that you are doing in the midst of this church, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for the prayers of the people that are sent up for me, Lord. And God, I want to always focus on you, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now, as I ask you to call to preach the gospel, Lord God, that I could stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and you should speak to me, through me, to your people, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your word would not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, but your word would fall on people, Lord God, that would do what you say. As your word says, it'll be doers of the words and not only hearers. And Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Trying to figure out where I want to start at this morning. I want to read a story. I wrote another one of Billy Graham's book I got. I could probably tell it, but it would be a whole lot better if I read it. Billy Graham says, on the day of judgment, there will be some who claim to be Christian who will be turned away from heaven. They will be like a counterfeit, be like counterfeit money. Then it. Let me start over. I can't even read this morning. They will be like counterfeit money who reaches the bank and it's supposed to be real, but it's not. Think of it. If a woman goes to buy milk at a grocery store, I'm just going to tell it. If a woman goes to buy a gallon of milk at a grocery store and she buys this gallon of milk and the cashier gives her a counterfeit bill, and then she takes that counterfeit bill, or the grocer takes the bill, the woman takes the bill, takes it to the gas station and buys gas, and the guy that owns the gas station takes that money and pays his employee his wages for the week. And then finally, the money reaches the bank from the guy that got paid for his tithe. Can you see what happened? When the money got there, it was no good. And the bill may have done a lot of good. Bought milk, bought gas, paid the guy's wages, done all these things. But in the end, it was counterfeit. And the bank tells them, this money's no good. We can't accept it. The same thing is going to happen to people that call themselves Christians, that call ourselves believers on that day of judgment. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about here. He says, now in my Bible and every Bible that's got the red letters, it's written in red. Jesus told them. He's got the disciples. He's telling them, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? You ever thought about that? What is God's will for you and I to do? It's not only myself as a preacher, and I just thank every one of y'all for the prayers, for everything y'all do around here, for the hard work that goes on around here, for everything. But there are people that is going to be before God on the last day, and they are not going to make it because they're claiming to do all they done in works and they never do Jesus Christ. I've said it before. They mow the grass. They come to church. They come to Bible study. They pay their tithes. They do all these things, but when they go before God, they miss one thing. And I say it at every funeral I preach. the main focus of what I do and what we're all supposed to do is the will of God. And it don't have, I don't want, you know, a lot of people get upset. It don't have anything to do with church. Look how many times church is mentioned in the Bible. Don't have anything to do with church. It has to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? And if you know Him as your Savior, you're going to go to church and you're going to do the best that you can do. And not one of us in here are going to be perfect. Let me see. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Jesus had been brutally murdered on the cross. He went to the tomb. He arose from the grave. And during that time that He arose, He went back to the people of the Old Testament to present the gospel to them. And then He is now walking among people. They say that over 500 people saw Him. They say the Bible says. And His disciples. And right as He was fixing to go to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, His work was done. It was finished. And He looked at them. And as He talked, He began to ascend into heaven. And He told them, He said, all authority that has been given to me in heaven and on earth, go therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. What are we supposed to do? He says, I read the word just a while ago. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father. The will of the Father is to tell people about Jesus Christ. The will of the Father is to be as good as you can be. We will never be good enough, none of us. Well, you'll never be good enough. You can only be good enough by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. If going through this deal that I'm going through right now, if I had to do it by myself, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be all to pieces. I wouldn't know what to do. If I woke up in the morning and I didn't have Jesus Christ with me, I wouldn't know what to do, because the first thing that happened, when things happen in my life, I take it to the Lord and try to be sensible about it and try to do what He wants to do. He said, if you do my will, all authority is given to you. Everything that God gave me, I'm giving it to you. It says, the first thing He says is, make disciples of all nations. And another, in Luke, I think it says, make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Go everywhere. Well, thank God this church is, we got like 7 different mission groups that we give to every month. And, all over the world. We're doing that. What I'm talking about this morning is not so much as what we're doing as a body of believers, but what are you doing in your life? Do you know? Do you understand? Do you understand that you can do everything? Put it like this. I'll make up a couple stories right quick. You can take a man that has worked hard all his life. He has took care of his family, his children, his wife. He has been to church every time he could go. He has paid tithes to the church. He has helped with church buildings. He has helped with functions at the church. He has done all of that. But at work, his employees don't even know that he goes to church. Would he go to heaven? Answer it yourself. There's another man, on the other hand, that is a poor man. He don't have anything. He sleeps in the street most of the time. He don't have anything to eat. When he gets something to eat, he goes to the mission. But he goes to the mission every Sunday and goes to church, and he has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What would God say to him? Another man goes to church. He takes care of his wife and family. Everybody thinks he is a big shot of the community. But he's got sin hid in his closet. He's not. In other words, he's like, if you see me right here, and I hate to use me as an example, I'm going to be the same way tomorrow, I promise you. He's not. Just like the other guy we talked about. He went to work, and he treated all his employees like dirt. He swindled. He cheated. He'd done everything that he could do to all of them people. Yet when he walked out of the office, he was fine. I mean, he was Mr. Somebody. How you doing, brother pastor? You know, I'm going to give you a check for this. He was perfect in their sight. There's another one I think about, the thief on the cross, that is just a street person. He goes to church. He's hungry. He don't have hardly anything to eat like the other guy. But whatever he has, when they pass around a collection plate, he gives it to them. And this guy, one day when the mission pastor was preaching, he gets up and he goes down the aisle and he says, "I won't tell me how to be saved." And he gets saved. I told you the scenario of four people. Which one of them is going to go to hell? One, two, three, or four? Four. The most. See, God is looking for honesty. He's looking for purity. He's looking for somebody that will trust him and don't. This world that we live in, I'm telling you, the reason I think that God, Joe and I were sitting in a restaurant the other day in College Station when I got through them tests, when God gave me this. He said, this, and it was written on a board in a restaurant, this scripture. Look at everything that's going on. Look at the world that we live in. The people that we have voted and put in Washington, D.C. from the president down, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat, they are fighting and demoralizing the country. They are cheating. They're stealing. Every one of them. The world has gone to hell in a handbasket. There's drugs. There's murder. There's rape. All this stuff is going on in this world that we live in, and we don't care as long as it don't bother us. Jesus said, go to them, tell them, help them, tell them about Jesus Christ. And he says, is it Joshua 24:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. But the church, you talk about the Bible is written to the church, to the believers, the supposed to be believers. And we get into all these things. I hope everybody's going to that revival. All the pastors are listening to me this morning. I told them to the other day. We look at all these things, even in the church. We started out a meeting a couple weeks ago, and we talk about everything but number one. And the number one thing for this revival to make it is to put Jesus Christ number one. If we put him number one, everything else is going to fall in place. But we're more worried about eating, about singing, about who's going to preach, about who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And we get our, I told them, we're sitting in a meeting. I said, look, my daddy used to say this. We're getting the cart ahead of the horse. You got to let the horse pull the cart and it'll go where it's supposed to go. The same thing is true in your life. If you put Jesus Christ in your life and you live like a Christian, and nobody is perfect. Nobody, not none of us. We can only be perfect through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you have got to believe in him. You got to believe that Romans 10:9-10 says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart and you shall be saved. You have got to do that, but it's not like saying, I get a little, now lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, Lord, I pray my soul to take. That's just saying something. What it means, if you're sitting here this morning, and something that God is saying through me, using me as his mouthpiece, has touched your heart. When we give an invitation, you need to get in these altars on your knees. I can't save you. Nobody can save you but Jesus Christ. And people, this world that we live in, I talked to a little guy yesterday at a baseball game. My grandsons were playing. He's about six. And I took him and bought him a Gatorade and a hot dog. And I told him, I said, Hobby, you like school this year? He said, we don't go to school no more. We do it on the computer. The world is so corrupt and so bad that we can't even send our kids to school to have the kind of education that we got. And not only, I didn't get much education. I went to school and had fun. But the kids don't even have the opportunity to intermingle with other children to realize what's going on, because we got to keep them secluded in the house because we have let everybody in this world do whatever they want to do. And that's the problem. And God says that one day, and I'm telling you, you go read Matthew 24, you go read 2 Timothy, you go read Revelations, you go read Isaiah, Daniel, all the prophecies. You read it, and I'm not talking about read it like a comic book. You read it and focus on it, and God is telling us that we're in the last days. People, we're in the last day. The rapture of the church is going to happen at any second. I'm telling you. I am telling you, called by God this morning to give you this word and hope that you can understand it. Do you understand this morning that God is coming? You say, they've been telling that all my life. My daddy told it to me all my life. I know exactly what you're talking about. But never in my lifetime have I saw the public schools, the insurance, hospitals, government, the police officers, everybody that's supposed to be doing something can't do it for all this bureaucracy that the devil is throwing into them. You can't function. I think Brother Todd's in there somewhere, maybe. Yeah, there he is. When he went to Desert Storm, he said that when they dumped them out of them airplanes in them gas suits and stuff, that they were walking their way on to Baghdad and taking over, doing what they're supposed to do. But then some of his troops become afraid to shoot because they're scared a cameraman's going to take the picture and file murder charges on them. How long? Today, people are crazy. I tell you, there's one word that saw the whole world. And like some of you older people, common sense. There's no common sense nowhere. There's none. It's out the door. It is completely gone. I don't want to get into that, but common sense. There is no common sense. Nobody understands anything. But I'm going to tell you something they better understand, and we all better understand, that one day, Thessalonians says that one day that the horn is going to sound, the ram horn, Gabriel's horn. The eastern sky is going to pull back, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is going to be standing right there. Amen. It says, the Bible says in Thessalonians, that the dead in Christ will rise. Then those who are left behind will follow them. And when them clouds shut, we're going to have 1,000 years of peace. And the people down here are going to have hell. You think it's bad now? There's going to people be saved out of that, but I'm telling you, you don't want to be there. If you think it's bad now, you don't want to be there. So I asked you this morning, if I can read what I wrote, I can just say it. I always write something down. I've never been able to use notes. They fussed at me in seminary because I couldn't use notes. Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Do you? If your answer is yes, do you live for Him? Or do you live to satisfy yourself? That's a hard one, isn't it? You say Jesus is Lord. He is everything. But do you believe Him? Do you believe that He is who He is? Or are you living to satisfy yourself? When you're living for Jesus, the number one thing you do is accept Him as your Lord and Savior. When that call comes on your heart, I want to remind you of this. It's something that preachers don't preach. You cannot be saved just because you want to be saved. The Holy Spirit of God has to draw you to Him, and you answer that call, and you'll be saved. You tell me, you show me anywhere in the Bible, in any of the, talk about the man at the well. That's one of my favorite ones. He's laying at the well. He's waiting for the water to shake. He's been there 25, 30 years. Somebody brings him and sets him by the water. And he's waiting on that water to move where he can be the first one in the pool of Siloam and be saved. Jesus comes by and he said, "What do you need?" "I need to walk." Jesus said, "Get up and walk. Your faith has made you whole." He got up, put the mattress on his arm, and walked off. What did he do? He had to do something. You can't just, Jesus Christ, once the cross, he washed away sin. It's done. It's abolished. It's through. And you just have to go back to him every time you stump your toe and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me." Jesus has forgiven you. It's done. It's over. But you have to get up off of your butt and ask him what you want. Tell him what you want. Every place in the Bible, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? "I want to see my sight." He hollered and hollered and hollered, and the disciples said, Jesus said, "Who is that?" He said, they tell us, "Old man over at the gate, he's just hollering." What does he want? Jesus walked up to him and said, "What do you want?" "I want my sight." He was healed. He began to see. The guy we talked about last week, the legions, all the hogs on the hill. Jesus sent, the guy walked up to him and said, "Have mercy on me, guy. Don't hurt me." And Jesus said, "What do you need?" He said, "I'm full of demons." And Jesus sent the demons into the hogs, and they run off the cliff, and he was healed. Not Jesus has already done it. He had to tell Jesus what he wanted. It's going to be a sad day one day. I'll ask you again. Do you live for him, or do you live for you? Do you break God's rule? Do you realize that the demons in the Bible believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? The devil believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, why didn't he say?" Because he didn't want to do what he wanted him to do. That's it. The devil believes in him. He knew him. But he didn't want to do what he said he wanted to do. The devil could say, "Yeah, I believe in God." But he don't believe in God because he don't do what he does. You see, we live in a world that you can, they take polls, although they're falling now, but say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I should have looked it up, but anyway, they do a Gallup poll. Gallup's one of the best polls there is in the United States of America. They do polls and they're right. They call people and ask if they believe in God. I believe it was 1980, 90% of the people in the United States of America believed in God. 10% didn't. 10 years later, they do it. 60% of the United States of America believe in God, and 40% don't. Right now, it's 50-50. But the thing about it is, what we're reading right here, what Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord." Not every one of them says, "Yes, sir, I believe in God." Not every one of y'all out here says, "Yes, sir, I believe in God." Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. I have to check myself on this all the time. Am I doing the will of my Father, or am I doing what I want to do? And oh yeah, things like come up in my life, not even sick, and something happened, and been around this cancer stuff all of my life. Yeah, I have questions. But you can't do that. You can't say, "Why, God?" You just say, "Take it, God. Take my life." But if you're a Christian, you get up in the morning, and the first thing you do, if you're a saved Christian, I promise you, when your eye pops open, "Thank you, God." And you pray. You read your Bible. You come to church when you can. I've already told you. I want you to come to church. I love the church house to be as full as it has been the last 2 or 3 months. I love it. But church has nothing to do with it. Works have nothing to do with it. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ that you are saved, that you come to the knowledge, that you come and that you know Jesus Christ, that you can answer that question, yes, I'm saved. Lord, just whip me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by the grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk. What's it saying? Saying that God has already prepared the way for us if we would walk in His way. My daughter's got a new car. It's one of them Denali Chevrolets or whatever they are, GMC, whatever they are. And it does everything from raise itself up and down to, I don't know what I'll do. But she told me that she was going to be here this morning, but a friend of hers, daddy died, a guy that we knew in the episode. But that car, when she gets out on 59 coming from Corpus Christi, she just punches the button, they take you right here, and she don't even have to touch the steering wheel. Don't have to touch it right there. I said, you crazy. I ain't trusting nothing like that. But I am telling you one thing. If you take Jesus Christ in your life and you get up every morning, you say, Lord, take me through this day. I'm giving it to you. And every time you say something you shouldn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do right. Every time you see somebody hurting, and not that don't mean everybody. That don't mean you driving down the road and you pick every hitchhiker there is on the road. That's not what I mean. If God, just like the God that is in your heart right now that is telling you, come to His altar. Today's your day. This might be your day. This might be the last chance. You help that person. You answer that call when it comes to you. And it is amazing what God can do in your life. If you're not going to be perfect. None of us, I'm not perfect. I'm the worst one here. I'll throw a fit like a hornet in a minute. I say, God, take me. I'll hit my finger with a hammer. I'll say anything. God, forgive me. I'm not perfect. We are not perfect. We can't do it by works. We can't do it ourselves. We can only do it by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only way. And what God is telling us this morning is that He is coming, and there is coming a day, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's before church is out today, or whether it's 1,500 years from now, He is coming, and if you want to go to a place that is perfect in every way, I ain't supposed to do this, but God tell me. What do you think of when you think of heaven? What do you think of? Do you think of angels and singing and bright lights and all this stuff? Do you realize that heaven, if you go to Revelation 21, it says, and there was a new heaven, there's a new earth, there's a new Jerusalem. And then there is a place called Hades now, that is going to be hell, and all the devil and all of his demons are going to be cast into it. The demons will run from God, and they know He's God. But we, as God's people, have got to realize that He is in charge and give Him, just mash that button. He's calling right, mash that button. Let go. And he will guide you through every step of every way. You think about it. Well, you got cancer. You know what? I think about Friday when we walked up, doctor, I knew I'd already said it. I ain't got no more cancer. And when he told me that that one place lit up, I wanted to hang my head. And I said, you nasty one. I said, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I could have had cancer in my anywhere in me, from my brain to my knees is where they said. I could have had liver cancer, throat cancer, pancreatic cancer. But I ain't got none but that one spot. There is a reason for that. The first doctor that told me said, I'm a believer and there's a reason for this. There is a reason. God gets us through all these things to show others that He is God. And He's telling us this morning. I've tried to paint this picture in my mind. I've tried to paint it before people for 45 years. But just imagine. You're driving down the road in a car, talking to your wife and talking to your kids. Everything's going just fine. Over. Everything goes black. Gone. And the next thing you realize, you're standing before this man with this long beard and a robe. And there's another man over there. And he's screaming and hollering and dragging chains out of a deal that fire is blowing out of. And you walk before God. And he looks back at his angel that's got the book of life. And he says, your name's not in here. Depart from me. And that devil that's got them chains and fire and demons is all coming out. You saw him on TV now. They just about got it. They screaming and hollering and they drag you into that fire for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. Why you won't even try that? Give God the opportunity to give you eternal life. And then there's going to be those that walk up to Him. And you're going to say, I hope that's me. There's no hope about it. There ain't no hope, and you got to know that you know. I hope I'm good enough. You can't be good enough. I hope you can't do it. You got to give it to God. And when you give it to God, you know in your heart, I'm saved. And you walk before that man with that beautiful flowing hair, with the white robe with gold sash. He says, your name is in the book. Enter in, my faithful servant. And you will walk into paradise for eternity, forever and ever and ever for eternity. Hadn't you rather try that than this way this world's going? Isn't there enough? There's enough of you here to know right now that it can't go on the way it is. I started to say something I shouldn't. Whether the Lord comes or He don't come, America will not stand. Matter of fact, in the end times and the prophecies, America's not even there. And that's where we're headed. So why put your hope and your trust? I mean, we got to stay in God's Word. We got to put our faith in Jesus. And yes, I am a red-blooded American, and I believe in America with all my heart. But if America don't go back to God's Word and do what God said and quit letting these thugs in Washington rob and steal and make laws that don't make any sense, that tell our little kids in school that if they want to be a homosexual, that's fine. You can be a girl, you can be a boy, and got enough power to go home and send a note to their mom and daddy, and their mom and daddy's got to accept it. That is the devil if there ever was. Amen. To make drugs legal, it's the devil. To do all of these things that they're trying to do is nothing but the devil. And God said, hurry up. Hit them, see if I can find this over. Hebrews 9. I use it all the time. And just as it is appointed for people to go die once, appoint a man to die. And after this judgment, also the Messiah, Jesus, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, He was offered. Do you realize what once means? Think about it. One time. He was offered once, and sin was abolished. He was one time. That's where in the Bible says one time or once. He was offered one time to bear the sins of many, everybody. He took your sins to the cross. He took my sins to the cross. He took the sins that you're going to commit 5 years from now if you're still alive to the cross. It is done. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But he said, just as appointed, man to die once. And after that, what's it say? Might make some people mad. What's he say? Appointed a man to die and then the judgment. It don't say it's appointed a man to die and you go to purgatory if you're good enough. Now some of you that have sinned is going to be good enough in your sin that you can go on and go to purgatory. But if you've been too bad, you're going to go on straight to hell. But if you've been if you just cussed a little bit, done a little bit, cursed God a little bit, just a little bit, it's okay. We're going to put you over here. And for the next 50 years, as long as the authorities of the church are alive and your people, they're going to try to pray you out of purgatory. They're going to try to pray you out of purgatory and get you to heaven. The Bible says, I'm going to say it one more time, it is appointed to man to die and then the judgment. Just like I told you, the devil's going to be over here. Fire's going to be coming out of smoke, brimstone. God's going to be standing here on his throne. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And that's it. It's over with. There's not no more. It's done. He goes on there in verse 22 says, and on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name? And do many miracles in your name. God, I was in Oakhurst Full Gospel Church. I heard Brother Glenn preach this sermon. I told you I believed in you. It ain't good enough to believe in God. You got to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he is the Son of God. That he went to that cross to die for you. John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 14. Jesus is talking. I always talk to the boys on the stump. He says, believe in my Father, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go to a prayer place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, where there I go, you'll be also. And Doubting Thomas said, he'd been with him all the time. What are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus looked at him and said, I see him shaking his head just like me. Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. And I'm telling you today, God says it's written in red letters in my Bible. Red letters, it's done. Now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? And then I will, Jesus is saying this. Then I will say, depart from me, lawbreakers, devils, demons, I never knew. So I want to ask you this morning, one more time. Get my piece of paper out here. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? If your answer is yes, do you live for him? Or do you live to satisfy yourself? Do you believe him? If you're trying to get to heaven on works, if you're trying to get to heaven because grandma told you to, that you're supposed to go to church every Sunday, you just do that, but grandma never told you why you go to church every Sunday. The reason you come to church is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. And you can get saved out there under one of them trees. It don't make any difference. But I'm telling you, it's time to get your things in order. I'll say that. I mean, that's all I'll say. If you don't believe me, a lot of us have got, I got the same way for months and months and months. I don't do it much now, but the news is so bad and so one-sided that you don't even want to watch it in the afternoon. I started turning on this one guy and listening to him, and I, well, Joanna told, she said, you need to cut that off because you're going crazy. Because they'll say something. I said, no, if you do it like this, I'll be telling them what to say, you know. Now, this is the way it should be, you know. Instead of letting people run in a store with a trash bag, and I had a video the other day where this guy running a store with a trash bag, and he told me, y'all can't do nothing to me till the cops get here, and he's raking cigarettes off. And that Chinaman went behind that deal and got him a broom handle, and he whooped his butt all the way out in the street. That's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen to unruly kids. That's what God's going to have to do to unruly church people. We got to come together and know there's one thing, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And what I'm asking, do you know Him? Do you know Him? If you went to the doctor, I can't even imagine. I went bird hunting that weekend. I came home. I took the weekend off. I went with my grandson and my son. We killed a lot of birds, had a great weekend, and the doctor called me the first thing Monday morning. You got cancer. Without God, I just quit. I said, to heck with it. I'm going to get me a box of Marlboros. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to drink. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I got it anyway. But God has another reason, another purpose for my life and every one of your lives. And it is more, believe me, it is probably more than what you're doing right now. You got to accept Him. You got to know Him. And when you know Him, I say you're not perfect because that Holy Spirit lives in you. And what if I do this? You can't do it no more like you used to. You might used to. Let me back up a minute too. God says in His Word that salvation is worked out between a man and his God. What I can't do, you may be able to do. You got to work it out with God. But if you say one of my words you used to say, you know what? I always think about working over on this chicken pen, and I didn't know nobody was looking, and Brother Keith walked around the corner of the house. I hit my hand. I said, oh, Lord. But you know what? It don't make any difference. Somebody here, one of us, God hears every word you say and everything you do. And if you're doing something wrong, He is going to let you know and say, well, that's the reason I used to do this and have fun, but I can't do it no more. It's probably because God is trying to tell you, stop. Now, all you got to do is say, okay, God, I can't do it, but I know you can. It's just like I ain't going into it because we're running over. Just like when I quit smoking and when I quit drinking, and dipping snuff, I couldn't do it. You might get away with it. Go ahead if you can. I can't. And I fought that mess, and finally one day I said, you know what, God? I'll tell y'all again, shouldn't I say it? I said, damn it, God, I can't do it. But you can. Throw it out the window and never touch it again. 1984. Never touched it again. You got to talk to God like you talk to me. If you're mad about something, tell Him. He's just a man, tell Him. Now, God, I don't understand this. Tell me, help me, guide me. I'm reaching up to you, God. I'm King David throughout the psalm cried out to God. Help me, help me. And God, he was an adulteress. He was ever, you name it. He done it all. He had people murdered, but God saved me. And you go to Hebrews chapter 10, and it tells you all about it. Those that were brought over because of their faithfulness. Jesus needs warriors in the church house. Jesus needs people that are going to reach out, that are going to tell people when they're wrong. You know what? If you go to, just by going to work tomorrow and telling people that you go to church, they're going to look at you differently. They're going to try to find out everything that you can say. Just like my daughter, when we used to go to drive from Navajo to Milliken, where I pastored, every Sunday morning she would make me mad. And every Sunday morning I'd say something. You're supposed to be a preacher. The devil's going to say that to you. You're supposed to be a Christian. You went down there and accepted Jesus yesterday. Tell him, get thee hence behind me, Satan. You don't have me no more. God has done it because, remember what he told Doubting Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. He has saved you. Remember what he said? We read the verse a while ago. Jesus Christ came once and for all to save, to die and save many, everyone of our sin. Do you know him this morning? Let's stand. Father God, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I know there's somebody here. I don't know who that needed this. Probably as confusing as it was to them, Lord. But God, the main point is that they focus on you. And God, I remind them of another thing. You said if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Yes, you can get saved outside. You can get saved going down the road. But Lord, help them to know that you're calling on them right now. And I pray right now, as we have this invitation, Lord God, that people would move forward and stand out, realizing that they can't do it, Lord. But you can. And Father, you'll clean them up as you go down the road. Lord, I give you praise, I give you honor, I give you glory, Lord. Help us this day, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.